Is fatherlessness the greatest assault on our country and culture and perhaps church? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And right now our guest is Charles Crismeyer, known as Chuck Crismeyer, who is the author of a book called Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts. That's a WorldNet Daily book. He's also the president and founder of Save America Ministries. Their website is saveus.org. Chuck, great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, Jerry, it's my privilege to be with you and your listeners today.
Okay. So they say that there's a fatherless crisis. In fact, I heard somebody say recently, and you think about this in light of the school shootings, that virtually all the shooters involved in the last couple of decades of these mass shootings and so forth have come from fatherless homes. Not every single one, but most of them.
That's correct. And when you figure that 72% of all adolescent murderers also come from fatherless homes, and that 90% of those in our prisons today come from fatherless homes, you know we've got a big problem on our hands.
Now, in the Bible, there are many examples and references to God as our Father. And I noticed in your book, you even took the time to count the times that God is referred to as our Father. What's the significance of that in light of the fatherless crisis we're having today in America?
Boy, have you ever opened up a Pandora's box here. Well, the reality is that God is identified as a father precisely because he's self-identifying as a father.
Mm-hmm.
Not just as God, but as father and the implications that father has. A father is authority in his family, or is supposed to be, and we used to say that father knows best, and certainly we would have said that father knows best in the household of faith. But today, that ain't necessarily so, and I use that incorrect English advisedly here.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the attack on fathers today in our culture is, in effect, a spiritual attack on God as Father. And it would be hard for us initially to recognize that, except when you find that even within the broader Christian community, there is very little affection for the Father, God as Father, much affection for God as Son or as Holy Spirit. So great is this antipathy toward God as Father that just a couple of months ago, I received a promotional piece from a prominent evangelical pastor who was promoting his new book. And in his promotional piece, he made an astounding statement, and I'm going to somewhat paraphrase it. He says, "I love Jesus, but I don't much like his Father."
Ooh.
I want you to think about the significance of that. What he's doing is parroting the general feeling within the broader Christian community.
Yeah.
We don't much like God as a father.
Yeah.
Because he represents authority, and we don't do authority in America anymore. Think about it.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. You were going to say more?
Well, the implications of that, as I see it, Jerry, are that we are a breeding ground for chaos. Chaos is the net result of lack of legitimate authority. It's the result of rebellion against legitimate authority. And so, people can see how over the past, 40, 50 years, there's been a growing animosity toward things masculine, toward men in general, and toward fatherhood in particular. Well, there's a reason for that, because there is a growing rebellion against authority that began in the 1960s.
Yeah.
And is now echoing to its final manifestations in our generation right here, as some believe, on the near edge of the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is exactly what the prophet Malachi warned about in Malachi chapter 4, which is the next to last message that God, in his mercy and his compassion, brings to the planet before the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Oh, go ahead and talk about that then, Elijah.
Okay, well, Malachi God, again, in his mercy and in his compassion as a father, said that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, he would send forth the spirit of Elijah the prophet to call the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest he strike the earth with a curse. Well, guess what? We are under the curse today. Wow. All the statistics of our time, even the secular authorities, sociologists, observers are saying fatherlessness now has become the curse of our age, and that virtually every single social statistic is revealing that fatherlessness is under, fathers are under severe, the very concept of fathers is under severe attack. So, you know, when I was reading the scriptures and I came to that passage, it was as if the Lord spoke to my heart directly. And we hear about that passage, hearts of the fathers, the children, children of the fathers, and we add a very emotive or emotional concept to that. But the reality is we're not seeing it happen. We're not seeing the hearts of the fathers turn to the children to the fathers, just the opposite. So I asked the Lord directly, and this may seem strange for a former trial attorney of 20 years to do this, but this is how I do. And so I asked God specifically, why is that, and how would the hearts of the fathers ever be turned back to the children and so on? His answer was simple. The only way that this will ever happen is for the hearts of the fathers themselves to be turned back to the Father. God the Father, God as Father. And when that happens, then the children will be able to respect and honor their fathers just as their fathers respect and honor God as Father. It's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah, interesting. And by the way, just real quick, theologically, I do know some theologians that would say essentially that some of those prophecies about Malachi and Elijah and so forth, that they're referring to the preparation for the Lord's first coming. And, of course, sometimes within the scriptures you can see things that happen have echoes in the first coming that will have, you know, completion in the second coming, you know, that kind of thing. And that, you know, in fact, Jesus even said Elijah has come and they did to him.
Referring to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
The proof positive that it's not referring to that is that it says before the great and terrible day of the Lord. The great and terrible day of the Lord is the time just before or as the Lord returns to bring the wrath of God in judgment upon the earth. That has not happened yet. Did not happen at the first coming. In the first coming, Jesus came to save his people from their sin. In the second coming, he comes to judge the earth in and for its sin.
Okay, now, going back to something you said earlier, you mentioned Father Knows Best. Okay, here's a television program you're referring to from the 1950s. Or we think about the father in Leave It to Beaver from the late 50s, early 60s. Okay, then jump forward to the 70s, and then you have Archie Bunker. And then in the 80s, 1980s, to the present, you have Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson is probably the best known, best loved, best goofy, you know, father, you know, in America. And this can't help but influence our thinking.
No, it influences our thinking, but it also reflects our thinking. And that's what it's hard for us to come to grips with, that these things are not only influencing our thinking, but are actually reflecting the ongoing rebellion and dismissing of legitimate a fatherly authority in the home. The whole feminist movement is an uprising against that. Well, I should say, let's put it this way, in its more extreme form, is an uprising against masculinity, so much so that, what was it, in 2016, an actress was being given an award for, what was it, an Emmy Award for Best Director, something like that. And here's what she said on public television, down with patriarchy. In other words, down with fatherhood.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
That is a it may seem that that's extreme, outrageous, but it's not extreme. Because in reality, from a spiritual standpoint, that's almost exactly what that evangelical pastor said when he said, Jesus I love, but I don't much like his dad.
Wow. Now here's a quote from Billy Graham in your book. A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. I like that. That's great.
Well, it is. And, you know, mothers are wonderful. God ordained mothers to be mothers. The Bible talks about, is there a mother in Israel? That's a very good and important thing. But fathers are implied. We don't call for fathers in Israel, so to speak. They are implied by the very virtue of God's fatherhood, which is delivered or delegated by Father God to man in his own household to be his representative in the earth. And so when a father either is rejected and his authority is rejected in the home, or he abdicates or goes AWOL, absent without leave, in his own home, the net result is that mothers, then, women, are forced to take on the role of both father and mother, and God did not ordain women to be able to do that. He didn't gift them to be able to do that. And it is fascinating that I believe two of the prophets said that one of the premier characteristics of a nation in decline is that women and children will rule over them.
Mm. Wow.
Isn't that fascinating?
That is. Now, we have about 2.5 minutes left. Why don't you go ahead and just give some practical steps, especially for fathers listening, in terms of how to be a better father, even if our children are already grown.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that. And that's, by the way, that's what the purpose of the book is. The purpose of the book is not to wring our hands and decry fatherlessness. It's just to point that out and see how gross that is. And then what do we do from there? Where do we go from there? How do we leave a legacy that lasts? Now, every one of us is going to leave a legacy. Jerry, you and I are going to leave a legacy whether we try or not.
Hmm.
The question is, what kind of a legacy are we going to leave? And that's what this book deals with. How do you leave a good and godly legacy? Where does that begin? Well, it begins with fathers regaining not just authority in their home, but regaining the understanding that God is their father and what the implications of that are in his own life. Now, if a father cannot submit himself to the Word of God, does not spend time in the Word of God, does not attend to the Word of God, does not obey the Word of God, how under God's heaven can he expect his children to do the same?
Excellent.
So it begins. It's really not that difficult.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. So men have to come up to the plate. Do you know, Jerry, that 2/3 of all of these books that have been sold in the last 2 months, book is very new on the market, 2/3 have been purchased by women.
Mm.
Why do you think that might be?
Well, because their husbands aren't living, you know, stepping up to the plate.
Exactly. Yeah. You got that. For the past 20, 25 years since we formed Save America Ministries, the majority of Christian women, their number one cry is, why can't or won't my husband be the spiritual leader of our home?
Half a minute.
This book helps you to know how to do that.
Yeah. Okay. 20 seconds left. Anything you want to add, I'll just say your website again. It's saveus.org. The name of the book, Hearts of the Fathers by Charles Crismeyer.
Just want to encourage men to step up to the plate. This is our time, men. This is our time. If we believe Christ is coming soon, we've got to get ready, and this is our role.
Charles Crismeyer, thanks so much for joining us. God bless you, sir.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
All right. All the best. Bye-bye.